Hello, lovely folks. Aren't you glad to be back to listen to me watch another episode of Baywatch Nights? This is episode 16 of season one and the 16th episode overall of the series. And this one's called Curator. So I'm going to guess that this probably has something to do with an art thief. I'm guessing like it's a curator of a museum and someone. Maybe the curator is the thief. Definitely something with a museum, because that's all I can think of what curators do, is they deal with the museums. So, David Hasselhoff, save the museum. Let me press play. No opening credits. We go straight to the action with Angie Harmon on the beach in a bikini, which is. This is what makes this show so amazing, so great that I love it, is Angie Harmon in a bikini. I don't know, there's other stuff that happens in the show, but none of it is as good as seeing Angie Harmon in a bikini. And does that make me sexist? Probably, but I don't care. And so she's putting on suntan lotion, Hawaiian Tropic, specifically, because she's in front of a Hawaiian Tropic sign. So, product placement. And I was expecting her to say, like, oh, how great Hawaiian Tropic is when David Hasselhoff comes by and tells her to, make sure you're putting on suntan lotion. She's just like, I am. And we get a nice, close up of the Hawaiian Tropic sign. Because Hawaiian Tropic, when you're on Baywatch nights during the day. And there's a very, like, just awkward. Like feeling between the two of them. And I'll be straightforward with you guys. It's been a couple weeks, maybe a month, layup time in between watching episodes of Baywatch Nights. But timed so well so that you didn't realize, because I'm still coming out on time, hopefully. I don't know, I might be late with this episode. But so I forget what happened in the last episode, so I don't know if there's like some sort of weird romantic tension between the two of them that's kind of coming to a boil. Because he's just kind of like, meh, and just weird and awkward with her. And then as he walks away, she's staring at him in the mirror and takes a picture of him. And I don't know what's going on. Like, they kind of just. There's a weird vibe between them. It doesn't feel anymore like they're gonna fuck. It. Feels more like that they already fucked and realized, well, because after Hasselhoff fucks you, he kind of loses interest. So I don't know, maybe they fucked and Hasselhoff is just like, okay, moving on to some other beach babes. But Angie Harmon, she still wants to Hasselhoff. And then we've got a special appearance by Yasmine Bleeth of Baywatch Days, appearing on Baywatch Nights during the day, and. She's going to the little lifeguard, treehouse thing. Is it a lifeguard house? What is it called? They oversee the beach. And then this guy comes in, and he's got a gun pointed to his head, because he's gonna kill himself, because his name is Garf. I don't know if specifically that's the reason he wants to kill himself, but that's something he says. He's like, my name is Garf. It's a horrible name. And he's saying that while he's got the gun to his head. So. Whatever else going on in his life, being named Garf apparently is not helping him. And Yasmine Bleeth is trying to talk him out of it and say, like, you've got so much to live for. Like, whoever hurt you, it doesn't matter. They're not worth it. And he decides she's right. He's not going to kill himself. He's going to kill her. Gun pointed at her. And, oh, here's the opening credits. So, I guess that was just a cold open. Cold open, but. Oh, so fiery hot. So while Garf's got the gun pointed at Yasmine, she should have just been like, I understand you hate the name Garf, but I'm named Yasmine. That is a very, like, weird name. It's like Jasmine, but with a Y and spelled EEN. Yasmine. I don't know. Now I feel like maybe I'm racist because it probably. In like her ancestry country, Yasmin is like the name Mary, and just everyone has it, and I'm all like, it's a weird name. But anyhow, Garf is like, I want you to answer me truthfully. Am I homely or am I plain? And, oh, I see what this is all about. Girls just don't like you, Garf. Which I understand, Garf. But you don't blow your brains out in front of a beautiful girl. That doesn't make it better. And you don't threaten to blow her brains out. So that definitely doesn't make things better. But Yasmin, she's all like cool about it and like, well, I think you're a very good looking person. No, wait, she said nice looking, which means you're ugly, dude. Nice looking. No one says you look. If you look nice, it's about like you're dressed nice. But no one says nice looking to describe like your like physical features. And he's like, really? Would you kiss me? Which, what's she gonna say? No, you've got a gun pointed at her. Of course she's gonna kiss you, because it's coercion. It is sexual assault. And so she starts moving in to kiss him. And then she overpowers him, takes the gun, and goes running, and is like yelling, help me, help me! And gets to the other lifeguard station, manned by some balding guy with a mustache. And he's trying to protect her, but Garf is like in complete like berserker nerd rage, and he smashes through the window and knocks out the other guy. And Yasmin goes running again, like, help me, help me! Is there any escape from Garf? There is no escape from Garf! Now the cops arrive, and since Yasmin's the one who's running and brandishing a gun, they pull the guns on her, like, stop, stop! Put down your weapon, blah, 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 habeas corpus, Miranda rights. But she's like, you gotta stop him! He's after me! He's chasing me! And no one's around. Oh no! Was it all in Yasmin's mind? I don't know. So, Hasselhoff is over where the bald lifeguard is being taken away in a stretcher. And he's asking everyone around, like, did you see anything happening? Did you see anything weird? And everyone's like, no, I didn't see anything. Except Garf shows up. And tricky Garf, he's gonna try to throw him off the trail. So he's like, yeah, I saw this weird guy and I think he ran down this way. Except Garf has blood on his face and his shirt. And Hasselhoff's not falling for this. He knows that Garf is the guy. So he goes to take Garf, and Garf goes back into nerd berserker rage and runs off. But berserker rage is not enough to fend off Hasselhoff, who catches him. And sorry, Garf, you're being taken away. All right. So this has been solved, and everything's been taken care of. And oh, we're only like 10 minutes into it. Okay, so there's going to be more plot, I guess, going on. As they're taking Garf off, hauling him away off to jail or whatever, and he starts yelling to Yasmin because he knows that Yasmin meant everything that she said about, that she doesn't want him to die and that he is nice looking. Ignoring the fact that, he had the gun to her, and when it was the time to kiss her, she went running off with your gun, by the way. But I'm sure that was just her playing hard to get, right? And so, like, as they're hauling him away, he's like, I love you. And, but he's safely behind bars now, so nothing to worry about, right? So Yasmin goes to teach lifeguard lessons to some kids, and like young kids, like 8 years old, like are they training to be lifeguards? Now that it didn't hit me while I was watching it, but now that I stop and think about it, like it's not like they were doing swimming lessons. She was teaching them how to actually save lives, which I mean, I guess somewhat, but like with like the lifeguard equipment and all that. And I don't know if an 8-year-old is gonna. I mean, it might be able to help save someone drowning, but they're not gonna really save someone drowning. And they're not gonna be using like the lifeguard equipment. They're fucking 8. And but I forgive it, 'cause Donna DeArco is I don't know what she's doing, but she's in one of those Baywatch suits, except hers is black, which makes it even hotter. So, yeah, I don't know. Whatever. They're training something. I don't care. All I care is, jiggle vision. That's really what, this show is all about. But as they're packing up and getting ready to go home, someone's left a present for Yasmin in her bag, like, oh, some nice jewelry. That says, I love you. Do do do. Oh no. Can it be Garf? Oh, I hope it's not Garf. He's supposed to be in jail. He can't be coming after me and sneaking jewelry into my bag. So Yasmin Bleef goes to the Hasselhoff Detective Agency to tell them what's going on, and she doesn't know what she can do. And apparently, Garf has been released on bail because, according to his lawyer, it was just all a situation because he didn't take his Prozac. Which, I guess around this time, wasn't this like when Prozac was the big drug? And so the writers are probably just like, everyone knows Prozac, it's for crazy people. Except I don't really think Prozac would be a good drug for someone who's like, it's kind of a depression pill. So I don't think, like, if you're taking Prozac and then go off of it, that you're gonna go start stalking people. But who knows? Because the judge might have just been like, sounds plausible enough. So he's out on bail, and Yasmin Bleef is, like, just all worried. Like, oh no, he's gonna come after me. And she goes to her apartment with David Hasselhoff in his brown Adidas bomber jacket. I don't know why I love pointing that out. Maybe just because I love the jacket and I want one. I want a brown Adidas bomber jacket because it is so fucking cool. But it probably would look like shit on me. It just only looks cool on Hasselhoff because he's fucking Hasselhoff. Anything's gonna look cool on him. But they get home and on the answering machine, just message after message from Garth, saying how much he loves her and wants to be with her. And I mean, that's crazy. And oh, there's a teddy bear that's been left for Yasmin Bleef, presumably from Garf. So at this point, it's so being laid on so thick that I'm thinking the teddy bear and the necklace weren't from Garf, and there's someone else, the curator of the title of the episode. He's the one behind it. Don't get me wrong, Garf is batshit crazy and deservedly so that they do get a restraining order on him that, the Hasselhoff Detective Agency is gonna do. And even if Garf isn't breaking in, all those fucking messages on her answering machine alone warrant a restraining order. Yasmin Bleef is working at her lifeguard duty at her station. And this little kid comes up with some flowers and, like, hey, pretty lady, these flowers are for you. And she's like, oh, really? Yeah, they're from this guy over there. Oh no, Scarf, he's on the beach watching her. So she calls Hasselhoff. And Hasselhoff comes up to Garf and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? He's like, I'm just hanging out on the beach. Like, you've got a restraining order against you. And Garf is like, that's right. Can't come in 100 yards of her. Oh, by the way, this part of the beach I'm on, exactly 100 yards away from him, from her. Garf is just, he's clever. He's thinking ahead. Of course, what I would do, Yasmin Bleef should start walking towards him, and he has to keep leaving because he's got to stay 100 yards out. And she keeps walking towards him and forces him into the water, and you just let him drown. Although, you do that, Hasselhoff probably, like, even though he doesn't want to save him, his lifeguard instincts would take over and he'd have to save Garf. Which, okay, sure. I guess you can't kill Garf. There goes my plan. I like my plan. I think my plan is a good plan. But Garf, he knows how to skirt around the law. And Hasselhoff, he's staying with Yasmin Bleef, and they changed their number so that he couldn't keep calling. But guess what? He somehow found her number, and he is calling her. But Hasselhoff's like, Well, fuck you. You know what? You want to talk? You talk to me. And Garf's like, you know what? How about we talk in person? Let's meet tomorrow. And Garf, that's going to be a mistake. You don't want to keep antagonizing the Hasselhoff. Especially if he shows up with the brown Adidas bomber jacket. Because that is when shit goes down and that's when he really, like, kicks people's ass. So Hasselhoff meets with Garf out in public on the beach. Which, you know, is a good place to meet because Garf is crazy. And Garf thinks that, you know, Hasselhoff is just jealous. Because Hasselhoff wants Yasmin Bleef. But he doesn't have the connection that her and Garf does. Because, you know, she called him nice looking. That means she loves him. And Hasselhoff's trying to tell her, like, yeah, dude, nice looking. That's kind of meaningless. That's just what you say when someone's crazy and you kind of wanted them to just leave you alone. But no, she loves him. Garf knows it in his heart. And so he starts hitting himself. And he's like, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Which, can I point out again, they're in public. And no one sees Garf hitting himself. Maybe because Hasselhoff was just a little too quick to try to stop him. And Garf just starts saying, like, Hasselhoff was hitting me. Which, come on, dude. Look at him. Hasselhoff's defense should have been like, dude, look at him. You think if I were to punch him, he'd have, like, just those light scratches? He'd be sporting a fucking black eye, because I'm Hasselhoff, and I've got a mean right hook. But, you know, Garf calls the police, and the police believe the story. And, you know, he's saying, like, oh, I think Hasselhoff here was just jealous of my girlfriend. You know, people get kind of crazy. And, you know, which, that part of the story would absolutely fall apart, like, instantly if the cops did due diligence and asked Hasselhoff, like, he says you're crazy about his girlfriend. And Hasselhoff could be like, yeah, he's a fucking stalker. He's stalking Yasmin Bleef. Call her right now. But no, because the other policeman is interviewing Hasselhoff. And, you know, he tells Hasselhoff, like, you know, he's not pressing charges. I would just leave him alone because if he keeps getting pushed, you know, it's going to be his word against yours. Which I say, Hasselhoff, keep fucking pushing it because Garf is crazy. So if it comes down to his word against yours, who are they going to believe? The guy who's on Prozac and has a restraining order against him or Hasselhoff? I will believe Hasselhoff 10 times out of 10. In fact, the only person whose word to me would mean more than Hasselhoff is Tom Hanks. Anyone else, I'm going to take Hasselhoff's word. If it's Hasselhoff versus Tom Hanks, well, you kind of got to go with Hanks. Just do. Now, Garf has a dream. Not the kind of dream that Martin Luther King had. Not a dream of what he wants in life, although it kind of represents that. It's one of those dreams that you have at night. I'm assuming, actually, you know, maybe he is just fantasizing and daydreaming. That's not an actual night dream. But, you know, he's envisioning his life that Yasmin Bleef loves him because he's nice looking. That still just gets me nice looking. Like, even if I, like, if someone told me, like, if a girl had come up to me and be like, you're nice looking, like, bitch, what do you mean by nice looking? Like, good looking? Okay. Decent looking even? Nice looking just sounds awful. But then he dreams that he marries her. She's wearing a white dress. And then it's time for the honeymoon. She's in some white lingerie. I gotta admit, Yasmin Bleef looks fucking hot in white lingerie. And really, I out of it, too. Like, okay, Yasmin Bleef is hot. But her in lingerie, oh, you know, yeah, I've had that dream, too. But the part of the dream that really gets me is there's a welder welding something. I don't know. So maybe it must be a night dream, because that's the kind of thing that happens, like when you're sleeping and you're having a dream. It's like, oh yeah, I'm about to fuck Yasmine Bleef, and here's a welder. What the welder? What are you welding? I don't know if the welder is supposed to be Garf and he's welding something and building something, a cage to trap Yasmine Bleef, maybe. Yeah, I don't know what the welder's about, but Angie Harmon has done some investigating, and she finds out that Garf is the son of some like highly decorated military guy, and the pressure somehow got to Garf, and he's insane. Whatever, I'm sure that's gonna come into play. Well, it has come into play. He's crazy, but I bet that's how they're gonna take him down. Garf has daddy issues. That's what it always comes down to, isn't it? And so they're probably gonna bring his dad, and Garf's gonna break down and like, oh, I'm sorry, Yasmine Bleef, but daddy never told me I was nice looking. Annoying photographer boy. He goes up, and while Garf is walking on the beach, he starts taking pictures of Garf, like, and getting all in his face. And Garf's like, you're bothering me, you're annoying. And it's like, oh. And photographer boy's like, yeah, maybe now you know what Jasmine Bleef feels like. And he keeps taking pictures, like, fuck you, I'm gonna keep taking pictures of you! Ha 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 ha! Meanwhile, Yasmine Bleef is finishing up her lesson with the kids of whatever. And I guess they've got some big meet going on soon. Because she tells them, remember, the important part is to have fun. And you know who reminds you to have fun? Losers. Because, winners don't have to be reminded to have fun. Because they had a lot of fucking fun, because they won! Wow, I totally did not mean that. I am a poet and I do not know it. Although now I do know it. And I'm still a poet. Yeah. But anyhow, security guard comes by and is like, oh, I know you've got like crazy shit going on, so I'll walk you to your car. I feel suspicious about this security guard. Something just doesn't seem right. I think it's the ominous music that plays when he came up. But so Yasmine Bleef goes to get changed, and oh, there's a box of kittens. Ah, how sweet. Not weird at all. And while she's looking at the kittens and being all like, ah, kittens are cute, Garf comes up behind her with the old chloroform gag, like, ah, here's a rag with chloroform. You're knocked out. You are now my prisoner. Which, maybe he does have a cage. Maybe that's what he was welding. He was welding the cage. Ah, I am in the mind of Garf. Wait, is that a good thing? Is it a good thing that I'm in the mind of the crazy stalker guy? To be fair, I did not take any Prozac today. So maybe me and Garf are on the same wavelength, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And holy shit, I was right. Garf has locked Yasmine Bleef inside what did she he cut edit that out. Of course I'm not gonna edit it out. Because you get warts and all. You get every fucking mistake I make. So let's try that again. Holy shit, I was right. Garf locked Yasmine Bleef in a cage. I guess that's what all that welding was done. That's what he was welding. And, Yasmine Bleef is like, why are you doing this to me? And he's like, because you saved my life, and so I love you. And I'm not entirely sure how she saved his life. She probably didn't, because he's just fucking cuckoo. Is that politically correct to say? Can I say he's cuckoo? Fuck, I don't even know if you really can say he's crazy anymore. But I'm not gonna bog down myself in those rules, because there's probably only like two of you who've managed to make it this far anyhow. But so David Hasselhoff is like worried because where did Yasmin Bleeth go? She's disappeared, and I'm pretty sure Garth has something to do with it. And photographer boy, he's like, well, there's this pack of candy he had bought, and Hasselhoff looks at the barcode, and holy shit, it was bought in San Pedro. Sure. You know what? Maybe in California they marked down the name. Because there's not the name of a store or anything that's in San Pedro. It just says San Pedro, California over the barcode. And I don't know, maybe that's where the candy's packaged. Except it was like a Whitman sampler of chocolate. So, just because it might be packaged in San Pedro, it probably was sold somewhere else. How did he? That is like a fucking like Deus Ex Machina type of clue right there. Like, this package of chocolate just happens to say San Pedro. Let's check out San Pedro. But, you know, San Pedro's kind of big. Where are you gonna narrow it down? There's a military base on San Pedro, and, you know, Garth's dad was in the military. So 2 and 2 equals 22. Let's go check it. And luckily, Hasselhoff is right. Do not ever question the Hasselhoff. He is always right. And Garth is watching on the monitor, and he's like, the enemy has entered. And who's he saying it to? No, not Yasmin Bleeth. He's saying it to the colonel, military army guy. Oh, by the way, the army military guy, he's a corpse. Dude is fucked up. This is like psycho shit. Not psycho as in crazy, psycho as in the movie. Because I'm guessing it's his dad. And he's got his dad's fucking corpse dressed up in the military. And Hasselhoff's looking around. And there's another fucking corpse. This one dressed up as a cop. So I don't even know who this is. Like, I'm just assuming the other guy was his dad. So I don't know. Maybe Garth's uncle was a police. Or was it just some random cop he killed and kept the corpse? Oh my god, this guy is fucked up in the head. Run away, Hasselhoff. I don't want you to chance it. I know it's Yasmin Bleeth. And you gotta do what you gotta do. You're a lifeguard and you gotta save lives. But this guy's fucking crazy, Hasselhoff! Get out of there! Call the police! Call the FBI! Call the military! Call the Yakuza! Call someone that's better equipped! Or at least has weapons! And I know your fists are registered weapons! Your biceps are fucking guns! But no, this guy's crazy. Now, photographer boy, he enters in to search as well. Because, you know, Hasselhoff's gonna need backup. I don't know what you're gonna do, photographer boy. Throw your camera. But he's searching, and oh my god, another fucking corpse! This one's a teacher. Which I know, because the room, there's a blackboard, and on the blackboard, it says Teacher of the Year over and over and over. So we got Garth's military dad, this teacher, and a random cop. Three corpses! Hopefully, we won't get more. But Hasselhoff finds Yasmin Bleeth, and out comes Garth with a military-grade assault rifle. Or some kind of weapon. One of those big, long guns that they use in the military. I don't know. I'm not a gun guy. I don't know how these things go. But so he's got it. But he thinks he's got the upper hand because, oh, he's got a weapon. But Hasselhoff, he's got the fucking brown Adidas bomber jacket on. You do not fuck with Hasselhoff when he's got that jacket on because it gives him like superpowers or something. So they fight and he chases after Garth and they fight onto the roof and Garth chases or lunges at him when. I'm doing a bad job of describing this. So Garth lunges at Hasselhoff, and Hasselhoff drops down. Back body drop. Excellent form. Some great maneuver. And Garth goes flying off the roof and gets impaled on a pole of some sort. and Hasselhoff looks over. And I was so expecting Hasselhoff to like just throw out some sort of like one-liner there. But that's not Hasselhoff's style. He isn't the fucking cheesy action star who's gonna throw some one-liner like, "You got impaled." I don't know. I'm not a screenwriter. I don't get paid money to come up with one-liners. So obviously, and there's the reason why I couldn't fucking think up of a one-liner. Hasselhoff, he's serious. He knows there's no joke about a guy just falling to his death and being impaled. There's nothing funny about that. He takes it seriously, so he doesn't even say a word. Because even though Garf was a fucking psychopath, Hasselhoff has respect for the sanctity of life. And he is not happy that a guy has just been killed. Now, photographer boy has managed to find Yasmin Bleeth and guts her out of the cage somehow. I don't know. Maybe he threw his camera at the lock and it worked. I hope so. Get rid of photographer boy. I don't like him. I don't like his character. Bring back the psychic. But Yasmin Bleeth, she's relieved, but she has now the trauma that she's gonna have to live with for the rest of her life. And she's on the beach, on the pier, looking sad. And she relives all the traumatic moments. And Hasselhoff tells her, "It'll be okay. One day, he'll be out of your mind." Which, why didn't you offer her to go get some therapy? Because this is the type of shit she's gonna need some therapy. She is gonna have fucking PTSD. Like, this is serious shit. Get her into fucking therapy now. And I wonder if this trauma is gonna also carry over to Baywatch Days. Like that would be awesome if at least like at this point in the series of Baywatch Days, like for the rest of the series, like she has to deal with all this trauma. Or are they just gonna pretend it never happened? And she's just gonna be happy-go-lucky during Baywatch Days. I don't know. But that is the end of the episode. I don't know why I felt the need to break into song there. Not one of the, I'd say kind of mid-average of Baywatch Nights so far. Not totally great, but not horrible, because we got this fucking psychopath with corpses in a abandoned military base. Do military bases get abandoned like that? Don't the government at least go like, "Oh, we fucking paid for it. Like, let's refurbish it into like a hotel or something." That is a good idea. They should fucking like refurnish abandoned military bases into hotels. I would stay at one. That would be so cool. And we did get Yasmin Bleeth in lingerie for like 30 seconds, maybe like 20. But that was enough. So Yasmin Bleeth's extra presence, it's gonna make up for the general lack of Angie Harmon in this episode. I think she had like 2 minutes. She had like 3 lines. What the fuck? I want more Angie Harmon. That is what I signed up for. And Garner was just completely not even in this episode. I hope that doesn't mean that he's gone, that he's like left the show and is no longer part of the detective agency. Because I like Garner. I do not like Photographer Boy. I want Psychic back. I'm still upset that she just kind of disappeared. And then you're gonna cut down the amount of Angie Harmon? What are you doing to me, Baywatch Nights? But I did get some Yasmin Bleeth in lingerie. So the episode's not a total loss, and I don't know what the fuck curator means. Like, why is that the title? Did anyone curate anything? He curated the corpses, I guess. I don't know. But that was episode 16, which means we have too many episodes left. I love you guys.